interest in Bart. Or another part or theme that you could give to this message is constructing a Christian home. And the intention is to be an encouragement. If you're doing any of these things, keep on doing them. And it's to be a challenge that if you're not doing some of these things, you would consider doing them because they would make your home better. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, which is a text referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that I'm going to make reference to it and applying it to the fathers. Now, I'm preaching to the fathers who are here, but every one of us has had a father. And so even though I'm preaching to the fathers who are here and we celebrate Father's Day for the men that are here that are fathers, you remember your father. And hopefully it's a good memory. If it's not a good memory, ask God to give you grace to live with those memories. But if it is anywhere near normal, thank God for it.
Amen.
My dad died when he was just 45 years of age. I was 13. And he was a very successful businessman and entertainer. And therefore, his time was occupied. And a lot of the things that I think of as far as a father and the things of interaction with a son, I didn't have them. Okay, but I still had a good example in a father. Listen, folks, focus on the good things. Okay, focus on the good things because the bad things will eat you up. All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God, that'd be the Father, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. This verse represents the goal of fatherhood. You'll understand why, hopefully, if I develop it. If you don't understand, then I didn't develop it for you. But we'll work at it. It's somewhat ironic. A father provides, protects, instructs, and trains. Because he's endeavoring to build a home and a family, a strong unit, a place where kids want to be, and where young people feel secure.
Yes.
All of this, all is done to prepare them to be sent forth. They're not raised to stay in your house. You raise them to leave your house. That's right, Dad.
Amen.
You cocoon them for the day of departure. Just as the insect that becomes a beautiful butterfly becomes that because of the protection of the cocoon. People have often wondered what would happen if I cut that cocoon open and let the butterfly out a little sooner. And it doesn't work. It hinders that butterfly. Sometimes they literally die. Other times they are obviously defective and disabled. Now listen, we are to cocoon our children. And so you, if your home, protect them until the appointed time when you send them forth. Send them forth too soon, and it'll be like that butterfly that gets cut out of the cocoon. It'll hurt them. It'll harm them. Now, some people think that this cocooning is sheltering. And you've heard a lot of things against sheltering. Well, they shelter their children. That's the problem. Boy, those kids are going to have a hard time when they grow up because they've been sheltered all their life. Listen, the cocoon protects and enables the right development till the time to emerge. And we need to remember that. Now, protection is not isolation. I'm going to repeat that. You might not have been listening. Protection is not isolation from the real world, but insulation from the real world's harmful effects. Are you okay? That's why you cocoon them. Now, listen, if sheltering is just keeping them from ever developing, ever growing, yeah, that can be harmful. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a place of sheltering, a home that protects from nature's harmful events. Listen, you take plants. They grow them in a greenhouse, in a hothouse. Oh, well, you know, they're never going to be able to survive. No, listen, they are hardy plants, and they are able to be transplanted into your garden or a flower box. And that's what we do with kids when we raise them the right way, in the right kind of protection, okay? You prepare them for when you transplant them into what we call the real world. In other words, out of your home. Now they have to find their own apartment or house. They have to find a job. They have to pay the bills. Have you taught your, you would do this with your teenagers. Have you taught them how to use a checkbook?
Yes, sir.
Have you taught them how to do banking?
Right.
Have you taught them how to pay bills?
Right.
You need to do that.
Right.
How are they going to learn it? Oh, well, I learned it. Yeah, so because you learned it by trial and error, you think that's the best way for your kids to learn it? Think of all the mistakes you made. Your goal is to try and prepare them so they don't have to make those mistakes. So you sit down when you got some bills to pay, have your teenager sit down with you and see the bills. It'll be good for them to see how much the electric costs, how much the heat costs, how much the taxes are. So you sit down at the table with them and you show them, here's the bill, here's the checkbook, this is how much money we have in it. They're going to say, geez, Mom, we don't have enough money. Yeah, okay? You're in a protective environment, okay? But now you're going to be able to teach them in faith to depend upon God. And then depending on how your budget is, you're going to teach them how to juggle. Okay, because we got this bill and this bill to pay. This one's only due on such and such a date. This one's due before that. We have to pay this one first. And then we're going to get more money. We're going to have to go get an extra job. So teach them all of that stuff. Don't think they're going to get it by osmosis. They won't. And then when they go out in life and they start making mistakes, you're going to become distraught. What in the world is my kid doing? Well, they're doing what you left them learn to do.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, we're still in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to begin to read at verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now, here's what we're focusing on. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of sin that's allowed to exist is going to affect your whole life. It's going to affect your whole family. Now, you know, a wise builder does not knowingly use defective materials. Okay, whether you're building an addition on the house, you're building a porch on the back, whatever it is you're building, you don't knowingly use defect. You don't go someplace and say, well, look, I want some cheap 2x4s, the kind that are going to rot quick. No, you don't do that. You buy good materials. Now, you might find that you had a defective material, but you didn't know it. And so in raising your children, you raise them the right way. Now, you might find out later as you grow and you learn. I remember telling our son one point in life, you know, Jack, we never had a kid before. We never had somebody, a child to raise. So we don't really sometimes know what to do. Now, by the time we came to our fourth child, our the youngest, Nina, the other three thought she was getting away with murder. That's not unusual, okay? But I told the others, I said, look, we learned on you. Okay? Now that we know what to do with her and we don't have to be, we can approach it in a wiser way with the younger one. And just to be up front with your kids.
Yes. Come on.
Okay, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache.
Yep.
Now, I got some readings here that I found. The first one is My Little Boy's Dad. This was written by a prison chaplain. And so here's what he wrote. I imagine after seeing a lot of the inmates. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other people I'll meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have, but I've just got to be successful as my boy's dad. There are certain dreams that I cherish that I would like to see come true. There are things I would like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my boy's dad. It is the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my little boy, I have nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I would gather, my fortune would be sad if I failed to be successful as my boy's dad. You can see it in entertaining field. You can see it in the field of politics. You can see it in business, where people succeeded in all kinds of wealth and fame, but their children's lives are a mess.
That's right.
Yeah.
I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. I may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my little boy can just grow up godly, then I'll be glad. Then I'll know I've been successful as my boy's dad. This is an open letter to family men. It was written by Linda Anderson from Hudsonville, Michigan. It's a clipping out of a devotional booklet. She was blonde and beautiful with azure eyes and a tumble of tawny curls. At 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile and purr, "This is my safe place." And so it was. Dads, husbands, you are the safe place. You are the protector and provider. And when you gather us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A very human dad who simply cares about God and us. It isn't a spiritual giant we need. It's just a dad who loves Jesus and loves us. Here's some tips that I wanted to give you. Tips for fathers. And then we have one at the end for sons. You say, fathers and sons, what about the girls? I know that daughters, all right? Mothers, on Mother's Day we have mothers and daughters. On Father's Day we have fathers and sons. I understand. I had girls. I had three girls, one boy. So I understand that. And don't you be offended. Boy, you're thin-skinned if you're offended over something like that. Your kids are going to have trouble if something like that upsets you, because that's going to be unfolded in other areas of your life. All right, here it is. First tip. Example. Children will be more what we are than what we say. It's been proven that kids learn more by the example of their dad. Now, what you say is not unimportant, and it will be reinforced by what you do. But a house is not built by talk, and neither is the life of a child built by talk. Yes, you must verbally give instruction, but help them to see how it's done. So you tell the kids, you give them a chore, and it's to empty the trash. That's a very common one, okay? It's to empty the trash. Sometimes it's just done daily at the same time. Other times it's done when mom says the trash is full, Billy, take it out, okay? Now you lead by example. You say, well, am I supposed to take the trash out? No, when your wife asks you to do something, do your kids see you respond positively? Or do they see your bad attitude? And then you wonder why your kids act like that. Where did they learn that? They learned that from you. And that ought not to be so. And it's, you know, not, you say, well, that's the way I am. Well, change the way you are. That's what God's grace is for, amen, to change lives. But you've got to go to God and admit whatever areas that are not right in your life and confess it to him and ask him to help you. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And now the Jewish people that Joshua is writing to, they had a problem. So Joshua says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. You say, well, I don't serve other gods from Egypt. No, but you got some other gods in your life. You got some other things in your life that may not be the way they ought to be. And what Joshua is telling us is put them away. Don't keep doing them things. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, why wouldn't we serve the Lord? What's wrong with serving the Lord? If it seem evil unto you, then choose who you're going to serve. Joshua said, but the end of the verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Set an example for your children. Second tip that I give you, along with the example, is instruction. Don't default on instruction. Now you reinforce the instruction with your example, but don't default on giving the instruction. Now we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you ought to have this underlined in your Bible. You ought to have it highlighted with, you know, like colored pencils, you shade it over. You need to know this. If you have a fantastic memory, then you can just remember. But if you can't, then you need to do something to help you. All right, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So that's where we start out with our own heart being right. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not haphazardly,
right,
not occasionally. Not when you feel religious. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you're going to do it in a natural way, not in a preaching way. Unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Just through the natural course of a day, you share the things about Jesus Christ. Now, if you're reading your Bible, you're learning some things. So you tuck something away in your mind. And as you're going through that day, you share it with your son or your daughter. And then let's say you're out shopping. And in the course of shopping, you get out to the car and you check your receipt. And you see they didn't charge you for one of the items in your bag. Or you forgot to scan it on the self-checks, whatever. You see it's not there. Now you know what you do? You tell little Billy or Susie, you say, look, we need to go back in the store. The clerk forgot to charge us for this. And now that's good, okay? That's 90% of it. And you say, you know, the Bible teaches us we need to be honest. We need to apply it. Not in a preaching way, but in a very casual way. This is why we're going back in. When you get back there, and I had this happen to me about 2 months ago. Got back in and I pointed out to a lady, and she said, oh, you're right, I didn't charge you for that. And she said, thank you for coming back. I said, you're welcome. You know, before Jesus Christ became my Savior, I'd have just figured I lucked out. But since he's in my life, I try to live honestly. You take and you turn and you say, I don't know if I could do that. You can if you want to. One of the reasons you can't is because you don't really want to. And you go ahead and you try it. And you might fumble around the first time, but that's all right. Learning's good experience. You know that with your children. You teach them to do something and they don't do it right. And then you tell them, well, try it again. That'll be all right. You'll get it. It just takes a little bit of practice. Well, why won't that be true for you? We are so inconsistent with our children. All right. Third tip. We had example. We have instruction. And then the third one is a pattern of relationship. Now, all of these are important, and don't you miss this one. Fathers, there will come a time when you'll be concerned about how your sons will treat their wives or how your daughter will treat her husband. Now is the time to set the pattern by how you treat your wife, their mother. They need to see you treating their mother the way you would want them. You know, you're going to holler at your kid when he's 22 years old. What's the matter with you? Why in the world you treat her that way? Be a little kinder to her. Now, he might at 22 just snap back. Well, that's how you treated mom. Uh-oh. And so when your wife asks you to do something, okay, just do it. Don't hesitate. And do it with a decent attitude. You know, I know how it can be. I'm a husband. And what's that saying? Please be finished with me. God's not finished with me yet. You know, all those letters used to be in a badge and people wore them. And that's the way it is. You say, wow, you're still learning? Yeah, 79 years old and I'm still learning.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
But the key is, I want to learn.
Amen.
And that's the key for you. Do you want to learn?
Amen.
So be a good example. So your sons will know how to treat their wife. They'll know how to provide for them, to protect them, to be a friend, to be a lover. Yeah, kiss your wife in front of the kids. Hug your wife in front of the kids. Give her a love tap on the arm or someplace, okay? And the kids will get embarrassed by it, but they'll learn. They'll learn. And that's so important that you set a good pattern. And you can learn yourself if you'll study Proverbs 31. Now, I like Proverbs 31. I like things simple. There's 31 chapters. There's 31 days, okay? In a lot of them, and there's others, you get to read the first chapter again. But you can just read a chapter a day. Chapter a day. You can read other stuff with it, but you can read a chapter a day. It's going to teach you how to be a man, going to teach you how to be a follower of God, going to teach you how to treat your wife, and you'll have that information in you to give to them. Now, your dad may not be Einstein, but learn to listen to him. Now, obviously, this is a tip for young people. And even if you're not living at home, you can still learn how to treat your dad. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction. Now that assumes that the father is giving instruction, doesn't it? And a man is a fool if he doesn't like it and he doesn't want to follow it. But he that regardeth reproof, he's prudent. So when dad corrects you, now young people that are sitting here listening to me, you listening? When dad gives you some kind of instruction, shut your mouth and open your ears. I remember one time with my son, we were in the house. I had something out in the garage I wanted, and so I told him, go out in the garage, go to the pegboard where my tools are, and then he had questions. Well, I don't know where that is, because I told him, I want you to go get a certain wrench. And he said, I don't know where that is. I said, listen, just be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
Go out to the garage. Stand in front of the wall that has the pegboard, and all the tools are hanging on it. In the upper left corner. corner is where the wrench is. Well, I'm not sure. Look, I said, just do it. Just go out to the garage, stand in front of the pegboard, look in the upper left corner, and you'll see the pipe wrench. Guess what? He went out to the garage. He stood in front of the pegboard, and he found the wrench. Now listen, my little boy grew up to be a godly man. My wife and I are so pleased. We're so satisfied with the kind of man he is, the kind of Christian he is, the kind of father he is. And now he's become a grandfather, and he's becoming that same kind of godly man. So when I tell you what I went through with the pegboard, he didn't end up that way, okay? Because he finally did what I told him. And he did not, one of the things I tried to teach him was how to paint. I had to teach him things I knew about, so I taught him how to paint. He didn't want to learn how to paint. I don't need to paint. I'm going to get another kind of job. I said, just come along out. You're going to learn how to paint. So we went out, same garage. We painted the outside, the garage doors. And there were other painting projects. When he got married, moved out to Kansas where his wife was from, and he started a church out there. And he had to be bivocational, they call it. He had to have a job. The church was, you know, wasn't going to be able to pay him enough. And so he guess what he did? Painting. Yeah, painting jobs. And I felt so good, you know. All of my effort was vindicated. And so your dad, he might not be, especially in your eyes, the brightest. But listen, he's your dad. That's why Paul tells in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey. And then the next part of that verse is honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So we obey and we honor. Now I know pastors covered already when people have a parent, a mother, a father that does not deserve honor. I mean, they have not lived in the right way. And he has talked to them about the significance and has applied that matter of honor. Listen, don't deceive your dad. Don't deceive your dad. you want to go someplace and do something, and you're going to present it as a wonderful, fine experience. You're not going to tell the bad thing. Don't do that. Don't deceive your dad, because you'll hurt yourself. Another clipping I found. A Father's Image is the title of it. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. You've heard this kind of thing. At 7, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 8, my father does not quite know everything. At 12, oh well, naturally, father doesn't know that either. At 14, he's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21, he's out of date and out of touch. At 25, person begins to realize, well, he knows a little bit about it. Not everything, but a little bit. At 30, I must find out what dad thinks about it. At 35, before we decide, we'll get dad's input. At 50 years old, what would dad have thought about that? At 60, my dad, he knew everything. And at 65, I wish I could talk it over with dad. Dads need to be an example. They need to instruct, don't default. On Deuteronomy chapter 6, read it, verse 4 through 14. And then be a pattern of the right kind of relationship with their mother. And to the young people, I say, listen and learn. Don't try to trick dad. God sent forth his son. Dad, you will send forth your son, your daughter. Make sure they're ready to be sent forth. I know our culture and the way things take place. are different than in some other cultures. We live here, so you need to learn how to apply these truths to here where we live. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the grace that you have given to us. Oh, Father, thank you for the help that you give to us when we realize we've not done what we should have. We've not done what we could have. And I pray, dear Father, that you're able to take our lives, turn them around, and turn them into something that pleases you. So I pray, dear Father, that you'll bless each dad that's here, and that you'll bless each individual as they think about their dad. Some are past, others are still living. I pray, dear Father, you will bless them. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.